Okay, so we're going to continue our study in going deeper in our relationship with the Lord. I want to encourage everybody, let's decide, let's make a stand that I want in my life to be more of God and less of myself. More of Jesus Christ, less of Paul Rott. It's not about me anyways, okay? He's the one that died for us. He's the one that saved our soul. He's the one that has been such a blessing to us. He's the one that promises to never leave us or forsake us. And he does ask some things of us. Matter of fact, he requires some things of us. He wants his church, his body, to grow up, to stop playing games, to be a mature bunch of folks so we can be a light, so we can be there for a lost and dying world. Can I get a witness? Okay, do you not know that if you present yourselves... Okay, you know what? That is just crazy that I did that. This is last week's sermon. Yeah, okay. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Oh, what's this temple of God business? What's this idol business? What I'm trying to say right off the bat is there should be some differences between us and the world. You know, it's not like we want to get on our pedestal and act and pretend like we're better than anyone else, because we're not better than anyone else. You know what I mean? But let's be clear about this, that to the believer, someone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we have a different master. We belong to somebody else. So there should be some differences in us. There should be some differences in opinion. And quite frankly, God's people should resemble their Heavenly Father in a lot of their behavior, and especially their thought life, you know. Some Christians, a lot of Christians, most Christians, I don't know, you know, we're pretty good about, you know, at least looking like we're walking that line, you know, but how do we act when we're by ourselves? What's going on behind closed doors? And what's going on in our thought life? You know what I mean? Because God's very much concerned about that. And the battlefield's in the mind, and the sin that you're going to do with your body is first going to be okayed in your mind. Does that make sense this morning? So we want to check all that stuff this morning, and we want to be serious about going deeper in that relationship. So it's not about playing games. It's not about fooling anybody, and it's certainly not about fooling yourself, you know, because that's the big thing. You know, we trick ourselves to thinking, well, God is okay with this little pet sin of mine, or God totally understands why I continue with this behavior or this thought pattern. And God is very much aware of it, and he does understand. But he doesn't say, okay, that's cool. That's kind of cute that you won't do that. You know, God is not cool with our sin. Amen? 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Now listen, for we are the temple of the living God. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so it's not about a church building, but we do need to come to church. We need to fellowship together. We need the encouragement of one another. We can be in the world all week long with a bunch of people that serve a different master who see things completely different than us. You know what I mean? But we come together, we fellowship, we encourage one another. And yes, God does meet with us here. And God is everywhere. I'm not saying he's not everywhere. David said, there ain't no place I can't go where God doesn't see me. You know, that's paraphrase, but God's presence is everywhere. But see, here's a super, super cool thing, man, is guess what? The Holy Spirit dwells inside of the heart. He dwells inside the hearts of all the believers. So God is in each and every one of us. Think about what I just said, man. That's pretty crazy, right? That's pretty crazy, because let me read this verse. Look at Acts right here. Look at Acts 7, verse 48. Now, this is just a little picture about our God that we serve. This is, yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says. Oh, and I'm going to read another verse that you don't have, 49, if you want to look it up later, Acts 7, 49. Heaven is my throne. This is God, okay? This is God the Father. This is who we serve. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. See what a big, big God we serve right here? That's just a picture, just a little tiny picture of his majesty and how the universe can't contain his glory. Okay, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me? Okay, says the Lord. Or what is the place of my rest? Where's the place of my rest? Okay, so the heavens is his throne, the earth is his footstool. Big, big, big God that is everywhere. He sees everything, okay? But he comes and dwells and lives and makes his home in our hearts. Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just blow your mind? All God's people went, man, that's crazy awesome, okay? But there's a point I'm trying to make here, man, is we have some awesome, awesome, wonderful privileges. One, we're in God's family. And guess what, man? Okay, one of these awesome privileges is that God has made his home with us. We are blessed, okay? So you might feel like you are completely alone in your situation. You might think, well, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody really cares about what I'm going through. Everybody's living high on the hog, and I'm dealing with this. Or everybody feels great and wants to go play volleyball, and I feel crummy all the time. Or nobody cares about me. Whatever kind of mind battle Satan's throwing at you, you're not alone. You're not alone, okay? And God very much cares about you. Okay, so anywho, moving forward. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. It's not about a building like this. It's not about a temple in Jerusalem. Okay? See, we live in the age, man, where the Holy Spirit, where we are marked, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the Most High God, his Holy Spirit, dwells inside of each and every one of us. What an amazing thing. Now, I want us to think about that. The next time, you know, I'm talking to me, the next time you want to go and do something that you know God would not approve of, well, think about it. No, God does not only not approve of this behavior or this thought, but I'm dragging along God with me to do this or to think about that. Think about that, because God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, God's with us. He's a covenant God. He's not going to back out on his end of the deal. That make sense? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Okay, you're not alone, man. You are God's child. Who are you? You're not your what's in your bank account. You're not what happened to you when you were a child. You're not what your past is. You are not made up of your crummy decisions. Okay, you are a child of the Most High God. You are loved by God. You want to identify? You want to say, well, this is what I am? Say this. I am loved by God. That's what I am. That's who I am. I am loved by God. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. I am loved by God. No, you're that mean dude that works on the corner. No. I am loved by God. I am loved by God. I'm a child of the Most High God. That's a big deal. Okay. And I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, verse 17, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Okay, so God does ask us to do some stuff. God requires some stuff. God says, you know what? There's a huge price that has been paid for your salvation. Okay, we need to stop taking it for granted, okay, and realize what has been done for us, as much as our little finite ability of understanding what was done at the cross for us, man. Understand what has been done for us, you know, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died so we could live forever. You know what I mean? He paid my sin debt, okay? My unrighteousness, my filth was placed on his back, and his righteousness was imputed onto me, okay? That should mean something, okay? So God says, you know what? When people see you, they should see some differences in you, all right? You need to understand that you're in this world, but you're not of this world, okay? This is where we are, but this is not our destiny, and God has us here for a reason. You know, people say all the time, well, I wish God would just take me on out of here, or I wish the rapture would come, or whatever, and, you know, I'm just so tired of living around all these scallywags and scoundrels and all that. Well, look, man, you ain't no better than them anyways. You know what I mean? You ain't no better than them. We should not be a bunch of judgmental folks, man. You know what I mean? We're so blessed. We've been bought at a price. And so God says, listen, you don't have to conform to this world. Okay, matter of fact, I want you to take on the image of my son. I want people to see that there's a difference in you. I want you to be a light to this world. Okay, let's move on. Verse 18. This is so good, man. Okay, listen, let this penetrate into your heart right now. Okay, those of you that are going through a hard time, maybe you're fighting a little discouragement, a little depression, okay? Despair is trying to come in. Maybe some bitterness is trying to come in. whatever's going on with you, listen to this next verse, okay? This is what God says about you. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you. What an amazing, amazing, wonderful thing. Did you hear what I just said? And I will be a father to you. You know, it's wonderful. God, who is enthroned, you know, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. The universe, the galaxies cannot contain our God. You know what I mean? And he says, you know what? I'm right there with you. I'm in your heart. And guess what? I'm your dad. I'm your father. There's a lot that comes along with that. You know, I'm a father. I'm probably the best father in here. No, I'm playing. That's a stupid joke. But see, here's the deal, ma'am. Here's the deal. The best father in the world is our heavenly father. Okay, so all the attributes that your dad may or may not have had, all those perfect attributes that you think a father should be, God is way better than that. Okay, you know what I'm saying? So what is a father supposed to do? He's supposed to protect. He's supposed to provide. He's supposed to be there for you. He's supposed to bring correction. All these sorts of things. Okay, that's your God. And he just said, you're my boy. You're my daughter. Okay, you are precious to me. In other words, you belong to me. You are precious to me. In other words, you are my responsibility because you are my child. You know what I mean? Okay. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. Isn't that beautiful? And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Okay. Like I've said in the past, man, people say all kinds of crazy stuff. People make all kinds of promises. You know, every week somebody will make some sort of crazy promise to me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll wait and see. I won't say that to them. You know, but I'm thinking, all right, see what happens. You know, because when somebody gives us their word, we live in a day and age where we don't know necessarily if they're going to keep their word or not. You know what I mean? That comes through relationship. When you get to know somebody, you know, okay, this guy's going to keep his word. This guy's going to say he's going to be here at 10 o'clock, but he's really going to be here around 10:15, 10:20. You know, anybody know anybody like that? Anywho. God keeps his word. God cannot lie. Okay? You want to know something that your God cannot do? He cannot lie. It's not in him. Okay? So looky here. God just said something awesome to his people, to us. Not a bunch of perfect people, but a bunch of people that have accepted that perfect gift. Okay? But because we've accepted that perfect gift, that should mean something to us. Okay? Okay. And I will be a father to you. And everything that entails. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me. Okay, well, who's saying this? God is saying this. God doesn't lie. God is making a very bold statement here that you are my responsibility. I'm going to take care of you. Okay, I've never let you down. I know times might be getting tough, but stop. Just trust in me. Let me say it like that. Just trust in me because I ain't going to lie to you. I'm not going to start now. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Let me read 1 John. You got that? Yeah, 1 John 3 and verse 1. This is a true statement, man. You know the beautiful thing about adoption? That's what we are. We're adopted. The really, really cool thing about adoption is, what really is really cool to me is the picking, you know? It's like, God picked us, man. You know? He didn't have to. This is coming from a knucklehead, man. I ain't been picked out for much. I'm not good at much. You know what I mean? But you know what? God, he picked me and said, you know what? You're a knucklehead, but I'm going to have you spread my gospel. You know? He does these amazing things that don't make sense to a lot of folks, but God knows what he's doing. So look around, because God picked us out. He didn't have to, okay? But he picked you out. You say, this is my baby, Courtney. You are my baby. You are my little girl. Kayla, you are my little girl. Bonnie Brown, you are my baby girl. Rip McClary, I'll get back with you on that one. I'm sorry. Rick McClary is totally a son of the Most High God. Anyways, 1 John 3 and verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us? Well, what kind of love has the Father given to us? He dwells inside our heart. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our corrector. We can go to him any time of the day and say, God, I need to talk to you. Daddy, I need to talk to you. Daddy, I'm really, really scared, and I need to unload some stuff. He is a present help in time of trouble. He's not going anywhere. Amen? See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God? And that's not just a play on words. It's not a play on words. Children of God, those are children of God. Blah, 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 children of God. No, man. We are children of God. We have been adopted. He handpicked us and said, you're coming with me. Okay? So it's cool, man. I like that. I don't know. That we should be called children of God. And so we are. We are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. You ever wondered why the world can't figure you out? Why the world doesn't quite think you're cool because you love Jesus? They don't get you because they don't get God. They don't understand that whole thing, man. So they don't understand our devotion to our Heavenly Father, but they can't even begin to imagine our Heavenly Father's devotion to us. You know what I mean? And see, we need to show the world what that feels like by our devotion to one another. They'll know we are Christians by our love for one another. You know, so whenever somebody comes and visits this church, you know, it's this church. This is the church. This is our little body. This is the part of the body that we're part of, man. And when people walk in here, they should be like, you know what? Those people, I'm not sure, but I know this one thing about them. They love one another, man. They love one another, okay? And they're a different, diverse bunch of folks, but they love one another. They're there for one another, and they have a love for a lost and dying world. You know what I mean? Any old hoot diddly do. Moving forward, let's go to the next slide. So we have these wonderful things, man, that you're not alone. You're not alone. Maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, but maybe it means a whole heck of a lot to you. Maybe you've never felt like you've never fit in anywhere. Maybe you felt like you've always been somewhat of an outcast. You're like, well, I have a lot to offer, but nobody gets it. No one understands it. Okay, well, here's the deal, man. God gets it. God understands it. And God handpicked you for those gifts, talents, and abilities. He wants to use you, okay? And he wants to mature us. Anyways, let's move forward. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. We're jumping down to 7. Okay. Since we have these promises, what promises? God is with us. God dwells in us. We are marked. We are sealed by his Holy Spirit. Nothing can pry us out of his kung fu grip. Okay? God dwells with us, in us, and God is our Father. Since we have these promises that God is our Father, okay, that should mean something to us. Okay? Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. Okay? Here's the nittest and the grittest right here, man. Here's the nitty gritty. Here's the real deal. Okay, this is what we want to get at. We are saved folks, man. And God says, I want my people to resemble their big brother. I want my people to resemble me. I want the world to see that there's something different about you. Not that you're a bunch of high and mighty, you know, I think I'm better than you. I'm going to stand on the street corner and throw a rock at your window and tell you to love Jesus. Not that that happens. I don't think that happens. I should probably just hush about that. But anyways, good Lord. I don't think that ever happened. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement. Can we cleanse ourselves? Is that something we can do? Can we save ourselves? We certainly, all God's people said, certainly. We certainly cannot save ourselves, okay? That's a gift from God. We can't boast about that. You're not good enough. You're not cool enough. You ain't got enough money in the bank account. That you cannot save yourself. Okay? So we can't cleanse ourselves either. But what the sentiment, what's going on here is God is saying to his people, man, why don't you take charge over this situation here? You know what I mean? Why don't you stand on my word? Why don't you give me the authority? Why don't you push down that flesh man that's running rampant over your life? Does it make sense? Okay. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. So God's saying, church, not just this church, but his global church, his people. You know what I mean? And you don't have to be concerned with the person sitting beside you. You don't have to be concerned with the person sitting across the way. You know, we're talking about the church But we're talking about you. We're talking about me. This is just God talking to us as individuals right now in this moment, saying, you know what? Why don't we, okay, let God search our hearts and see what does not please him. And I can tell you a bunch right now, but you'd probably all leave the church, you know? I mean, not about you guys. I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm a mess. Rachel Jean says, I'm not only a mess. She says, I'm a hot mess. I don't even know what that means. Yeah, she does. She said, you're a hot mess, Paul. Oh, Rachel Jean, bless her heart. She's a peach, a real peach. Anyways, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. So our whole person, man, let's get our whole spirit lining up, our whole person lining up with the Word of God. Well, that's just not possible. Well, you know what, man? That's the direction we need to be heading in right there. You know what I mean? More of God, less of me. Okay, if you're tired of being fearful and stressed out, if you're tired of giving into this stuff, and well, let's be honest, you know, some of this stuff we ain't tired of all of. You know, we're not tired of it. We dig it, you know. But if it's not pleasing to God, then that's something we need to work on, right? Okay. Well, I can't do that. This is just part of me. It's too deep. Oh, no. Philippians, where is it at? Is it on here? Yeah. Okay. No, I want to read this one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Okay. I can do all things. If God wants me to do it, he will give me the strength to do it. Okay. So if I'm tired of living in the whole repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin cycle, you ever been there? If you're tired of that, if you're tired of being miserable, okay, check it out. I can do all things through him. Through who? Through God, through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can be that person God wants me to be. You know, it's not impossible. It's impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. Okay? And he'll give you the strength. Anyways, let's move forward. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit. The whole person, man. What everything we are, you know, and like I said, sometimes we can hide the things, you know, that we're going to do. Okay, we can separate it real easy, you know. My mind can be a mess, man, and nobody else might not even have a clue about what's going on in my thought life, man, and it can be a pretty messed up place. But God's very much concerned about that as well. You know what I mean? Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Let's look at that. Let's talk about what's going on in the mind for a second. Well, let me enjoy some of this delicious spring water. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So if you got this mind battle going on, where Satan's telling you all this rubbish about yourself, trying to make you this fearful, depressed guy, or you have this mind battle going on, and your mind is just crazy with all kinds of perverse thoughts and stuff like that, whatever's going on, man, you don't have to be that way, okay? If you know it's against God, we need to destroy that stuff. You know what I mean? And we can do all things through Christ. You honestly can't help the little fiery darts that are thrown at you. You know, they get thrown at you. You ever had one of those thoughts like you know, like, wow, where did that come from? Whoa, woo, I ain't telling nobody about that, you know? Okay, you can't help that, man. But if you want to water that thought, you want to nurture that thought, okay, that's what we need to watch out for. Okay, you want to start, you know, feeding it. That's going to grow into something really bad, really fast. Okay, you can't help the kind of thoughts that are thrown your way, like, you stupid, you a loser. Paul, you ain't nothing. You know, you rebuke that mess. Don't let it take root. Don't let it take root in you, all right? Don't feed it. Don't water it. All that sort of jazz. Y'all with me? Because we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion. Anything that is contrary to God's word that pops into your mind, well, you need to push that away right away, man. Don't let it take root. Okay? We destroy arguments and lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought. Take every thought. Okay. You know, here's the filter. The filter's the Word of God. Does this agree with the Word of God? Does this line up with the Word of God? If it doesn't, man, then I need to rebuke that mess and push it away. And if it comes back in your mind again, rebuke it. Nah, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't want to think about that. You know what I mean? Amen. Like my dad, when he wanted to quit smoking, this is kind of silly, but it worked for him, man. And every time, you know, because if you ever smoked, man, that's a tough gig, man. It's really hard to get out of, man. You know, it kind of gets a hold of every aspect of your life. Time to go to bed. Let me get one more smoke in. Ah, rise and shine. Let me get a smoke. Oh, I just ate something. Time to smoke. You know, it's just getting in the car. It takes, you know, it's one of them things. I'm not talking bad about smokers, man. It kind of just takes over, you know. And so my dad, when he wanted to quit smoking, he took a cigarette pack and he rolled up Bible verses, man, and put them in the cigarette pack. So when he would do that habit of pulling out the smokies and open it up, I'm sure when he opened it up, he was like, oh, man, dude. You know, I mean, but he'd pull out the Bible verse and he'd read it till that craving went away. That's what we got to do, man. You know, feed that spirit, man. Drown that flesh, dude, right? And let it be known, I'm not talking about drowning any human being. I'm not talking about drowning any living person, all right? I heard him. He said it. He said the flesh man. It's on that recording. Okay, anyways, whatever. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Follow along with me. Since we have these promises, and we do have some good promises, and we need to keep those in mind. What is the promise? Well, God is with me, okay? And I'm going to be dragging him around to do these things. I'm going to have him, you know, he's very much aware of what's going on in my mind. You know what I mean? Okay, since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, our whole person, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Man, that's what we want, man. Remember, our God is holy, right? There's none like him. He's the only one true God. He is holy, holy, holy. He is completely set aside from all creation. And he cannot have anything to do with sin, okay? He loves you. He loves you. You're his child. But he does not love your sin. He doesn't think your sin's cute. He doesn't think my sin's cute. You know what I mean? So a lot has been paid for us to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know what I mean? A huge price was paid. So God's like, hey, don't forget about that. You know what I mean? Let's work on maturing. Let's work on getting rid of all this baggage that's keeping you from being what I want you to be, where I can use you more. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so let's cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness. That's what we're shooting for. Remember, he is holy, and we are to be holy. We want to resemble our dad. What a wonderful compliment. You look just like your dad. I love when people say that. You know what I mean? You look just like your dad. Okay, bringing holiness to completion. Are we going to be complete here? Are we going to be perfect here? I don't think that we are going to be perfect on this side of Jordan, on this side of glory. I do not think so. But I think that is the direction we need to be working at. That's the direction we're going, man. You know what I mean? We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. We're not our own. We've been bought at a price. Okay. Bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Well, that's a really cool little statement right there, man. And I'll be honest with you guys for once. No, I'm playing. No, I'll be honest with you. The other day, man, I was kind of hanging out with the Lord and just spending some quality time with him like I do, and I think we all should do, and I'm pretty sure that we all have a devotional time. If you don't have a time in the Word, you need to do that. You really do, okay? We want to starve that flesh, man. We want to drown that nonsense out. You know what I mean? But we got to feed our spirit, man. You got to have some time in the Word every single day. And I understand if you hate reading, Sister Claudia will come and read it to you. Yeah. No, if you hate reading, get it on audio. We live in this wonderful time where you don't even have to have a cassette or a CD or something, man. You can have the Word of God, okay, being read to you on your phone or something. But, man, bless yourself. Bless your spirit, man. Spend some time in the Word every single day and think about what you're reading. Feed that spirit, man. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. Spend time in prayer. Okay. Fear of God. Yes, yes, yes. Now I remember. So I was hanging out with the Lord the other day, and he says to me, he's like, your shoe's untied. And I went, She's not. I'm not even wearing. No, I'm fine. You know, I'm hanging out with the Lord, and he says, you know what's going on, Paul, is you lost the fear. I'm paraphrasing, but you know how God will speak to your spirit, man. And he's like, you're losing your fear of me. You've lost your fear of me. And then he began to talk to me about how it's a big, big thing, man, that a lot of us, not us, you know, everybody, I don't know what you guys are going through, but I know like the big problem with a lot of the world, man, or a lot of the church, rather, is we have lost the fear of the Lord, man. We have lost that reverence for who he is, you know what I mean? And we can't get away from the grace. We don't want to get away from the grace. Thank the good Lord for that grace and that mercy, you know what I mean? We got to have that, man. And I mean, that's such a wonderful thing. But somewhere along the line, a lot of us, you know, Western church, we've lost that fear of the Lord. And God does want his people to have reverence for him, extreme respect, fear of the consequences of what's going to happen if you break one of his laws. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? And it's not that listen, man, God warns us over and over. You got life and death. I want you to pick the right path here. You know what I mean? And to his Christians, to his babies, he's like, look, you know, you got all these choices. You got this freedom, but don't abuse it, man. You know what I mean? Don't forget what's been done for you. All right? Don't forget the fact that I'm with you. And matter of fact, let that give you strength. Listen to me as I tell you, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Does that make sense? Okay. So anywho, the Lord, I mean, it was very convicting to me that God told me, he's like, Paul, you lost the fear of me somewhere along the line. You know, you're not fearful of any consequences. And that was like piercing my heart, man, you know. And that is, it's the truth. A lot of us Christian folks, man, we don't think about the consequences of our actions, man. Like if you run a stop sign, you know, there's going to be some consequences of that. Okay, so look, God's not picking on us because he warns us over and over again. He's like, looky here, you do this, there's going to be some consequences to it. The consequences are bound up in the actions that we choose to do, right? It's a package deal. You choose to sin, you choose to hurt yourself. Even as Christians, man, you know, where much is known and we know a lot more. We can't claim ignorance. We know a lot more than some people, you know. Where much is known, much is required of us, okay? So, man, let that pierce your hearts because it did mine. Okay, so we can't lose that fear of the Lord. We need to have that reverence of the Lord because, I mean, the fear of the Lord is truly the beginning of wisdom. If you want to be that person that God wants you to be, if you want to be that vessel that God wants you to be, it has to start with some reverence for who God is. You know what I mean? All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. 1 Peter 1:16 says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is a true statement. We are set aside for God's glory. Philippians 2 and verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, this is pretty cool. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever been that person? You ever been like that where like, man, I'm Johnny on the spot when the boss is around. I'm a hardworking dude. Yes, sir, no, sir, and all that. But when the boss isn't around, you start goofing off and playing, and you ain't worried about nothing. So Apostle Paul is saying, don't be that dude. Yeah, don't be that guy, Josh. Okay, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Listen, continue to work out. Listen, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, okay? Can you save yourself? No, you cannot save yourself. But God says, take ownership of this, man. Make this a priority right here that you are going to allow yourself to line up with God's will, man. That you are going to say, well, the Bible says this, but I really, really want to do this. But the Bible says this. Well, we need to follow what the Word of God says. You know what I mean? And have some fear and trembling about it. Understand that if I choose to walk on the wild side, you know what I mean? I choose to do this, there's going to be some consequences to that. And God warns us before. He warns us ahead of time. So we can't be like, oh, God, you picking on me. You know, he's like, man, I kept telling you. I was pleading with you. The Holy Spirit that indwells you was saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Dig it? Y'all got it? Okay. So I keep forgetting how to work this newfangled phone. And okay. Anywho, let's go to the next slide. Is everybody okay? Joshua 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Okay, this is Joshua talking to the nation of Israel. Okay, they're in a really good place right now. Okay, but they're in the valley of decision. Who are you going to serve? And so I'm asking all of us, and I'm asking myself, who are we going to serve? And I'm talking to Christian folks this morning. Who is our Lord and Savior? Okay, that should be easy. Well, you know what? Then we should want to obey our Lord and Savior, right? I mean, think about those words. He's my Lord, and he's my Savior. He's my Lord, he's my Savior, he's my Savior. But is he the Lord of my life? You know, because I keep pushing him off the throne when it's not, well, are y'all with me? Okay. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day. This is what we just need to decide, man. Put your foot down. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river. Okay, you could serve the old false gods that your parents got involved with. But let me just refresh your memory. They died, okay? Your parents, man, they couldn't come into the promised land because, you know what? They were too caught up in fear. They were too caught up in grumbling and complaining, and they got into a lot of idolatry. And just look how those false gods, how that whole bunch, how that really, really worked for them. It didn't work too good for them, did it? Okay, so we can look around, and you say, well, I, you know what I mean? I love Jesus. I got respect for Jesus, but he's just one of many gods. All roads lead to salvation. Don't get involved in that nonsense. All right, looky here, okay? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. That's cool right there, man. That's really, really telling. You're in the people whose land that we're in now, they served false gods. And look how their gods protected them from the one true God. Now, we would say, well, that's stupid. Why in the world would they serve the gods of the Amorites? The Amorites just got clobbered by the one true God. You know what I mean? Why in the world would they? Well, because Satan likes to tempt us, and we like to be tempted. You know, our flesh is ready to get into trouble all the time, you know. So, you know, there's all these tantalizing things that were very, there was a lot of temptation that these folks could have got involved in that could lead them astray. So anyways, Josh is like, don't get involved in that nonsense. You want to go that way? It's a dead end. You want to go this way? It's a dead end. But this is what we're going to do at my house. Okay. Beyond the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a wonderful, awesome thing. Putting your foot down. You guys can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to reap the consequences of that. Okay, but me and everybody that I have any influence on whatsoever, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that they're going the right direction. Okay, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to do everything I can do to get them in the right direction. Okay, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the one true God. We're going to serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. If I got Brother James come up here real fast, or take your time, walk, don't trip or nothing. I want us to look at Psalms 139 in closing right here. And there's only a few of us in here. But I want us to allow God just to search our hearts. Just let God search your hearts in whatever kind of baggage you're dragging around, whatever kind of, you know, thoughts we have that are not pleasing to God, whatever type of things that we nurture and water in our minds that no one else knows about, whatever behaviors or actions or things that we're struggling with that we know is not God-pleasing. We want to put all that stuff down right now. We want to give it to the Lord, and we don't want to pick it up again when we leave here. We have to get rid of all this rubbish, and we want to decide today who we're devoted to. You know what I mean? Let us not forget the wonderful promises that God has given us and that God is with us, and he is our Father, and he'll never leave us or forsake us, and we have the Holy Spirit. in us, indwelling us. You know what I mean? The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in our bodies, man. You know what I mean? And that's power. That's amazing power. And we can listen to that. We can tap into that. And I can say no to what God does not approve of. You know what I mean? I can. I can do that through Christ. So that's what we want to do. We want to put that rubbish down. And we want to just put our foot down that I belong to God and I want to be sold out to God. I want to be that light to a lost and dying world. I want to be that encourager to my family. I don't want to stop. I don't want to be the person that's bringing confusion into my family because you're like this one minute and then the next minute you're like this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. God, here's what's going on in me. You see it. I can't hide it from you anyways. But bring it to my thoughts. Bring it to the forefront what's going on in me, Lord. Show me what's not pleasing to you. And let me leave it here. And let me begin to follow you with everything that I am. Dear Lord, I ask you just to bless these folks, Lord. Thank you that we are convicted this morning, Lord. We know that we are loved by you. We know that an amazingly high price was paid for our salvation. Let us not take it for granted, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we repent right now of all our sins. Whatever's not pleasing of you, Lord, we just want to lay it here at your feet, Lord. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, just give it to the Lord. If you have bitterness, if you're just constantly doubting God, maybe you're dealing with some profane stuff, man. You know what's going on that's not pleasing to the Lord. If you mean it, tell God you're sorry and turn from it. And that's a process, because you'll be tempted to pick it back up again, whatever it might be. But this time we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit that dwells inside us, and we're not going to do it. Amen? Selfish. We repent for not caring about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We repent for not having a heart for a lost and dying world. We repent for not putting you first, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that we are going to be what you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. There's only a few of us left in here this morning. Why don't you go ahead and just praise them? Just lift up your hands. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks about you. Just lift up your hands to the Most High God. No one's too cool for it. Just lift up your hands in submission. That's what you're doing. You say, I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you. You are everything to me. Father God, thank you that I won't forget about that anymore. That I'm nothing without you, that I wouldn't have anything without you, Lord. That every good thing I have is from you, Lord. And sometimes we have to give them the sacrifice of praise. And sometimes you have to say, thank you, God, when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. When you don't know when your life is going to be back in working order again. When you don't know if things are going to ever line up back the way you want them to line up again. I want to invite you this morning just to praise the Lord and just focus on what is true. Well, what is true, Paul? I'm a child of the Most High God. God is my Father, and He loves me. He loves me with an undying love. He is committed to me. I am His concern. Just praise Him, man. Just praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just tell Him you love Him. We love you, Lord. We love you. Love you. We worship you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just want to encourage everybody in here to spend time in the Word of God this week. Every single day, set some time aside. You know, next month we're going to read the book of Proverbs together. What an amazing book. It's such a wonderful book, so get involved in that. I think the month turn. Well, next Sunday's the first. So, I don't really care what you read in the Word of God. Just read the Word of God. Let it strengthen you. Spend time in prayer. Talk to God. Tell Him how you feel. He's a big God. He can handle it. You know what I mean? But make sure that we're not too proud to handle what He wants to tell us. You know what I mean? Give your burdens to God. And let God give you peace. But listen to what God tells you too. And yes, God can talk to your spirit, man. God does talk to you. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we won't stop moving. Or we'll say, well, that wasn't God, you know. But I promise you, if you want God to talk to you, okay, get in His Word. Spend some time with Him, man, and He'll talk with you. He'll hang out with you. I know that might sound a little cuckoo to some of you, but whatever, man, just give it a shot, man. Hang out with the Lord because He wants to hang out with you. Oh, guys, I love you so much. I hope that I get to see you guys Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We have something for every age group, but we don't have childcare at this time on Wednesday nights. But don't let that stop you. Just bring the little one with you and keep them close. Got Bible study tomorrow at 12 p.m. at Whataburger. Come on out for that. Pray for your church congregation. Pray for your nation. Pray for your president. Pray for revival. You know, you want revival in the schools. You want revival. You want revival in the White House. You want revival in all these places just like me. Well, you know where revival is going to start. It's going to start in you. It's going to start in me. You know what I mean? If you want revival in this building right here, well, you know what? Get fired up yourself, man. Get fired up about it, you know, because revival is going to have to start with me or you, you know. And I'm really, really stoked about this woman's prayer gathering every other Monday. Because there's just something awesome. Just something awesome, man, about ladies getting together and praying, man. You know, a lot of awesome things have happened in the past when ladies would get together and pray. It's just amazing things can happen. So I'm pretty stoked about that, man. I'm glad we finally have that prayer meeting going. See you guys Wednesday. If you didn't bring food for our family in need and you want to help out, why don't you go ahead and bring some next Sunday? And I love you guys. Remember, work day, Saturday, yes, Saturday at 9 a.m. We need you. So if you're able-bodied, you got some time to spare, you want to come up for a couple hours, great. You want to come out and spend all day with us, awesome. All right? Love you guys. Brother Donnie's going to take us home in prayer.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Father God, as we go out to highways and byways to share your gospel, Father God. Give us strength, Father God, in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.